And welcome back to the Dave Llewellyn Podcast. We cover sports stories, newsmakers, and difference makers in our communities and across the state of Michigan. You find us, watch us, listen on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and through our partnership with WJR Radio at thegreatvoice.com. We're here today to talk about good news with the Reverend Joe Malia, the pastor at St. Kiernan in Shelby Township, and a lead organizer of a revival that is coming to the city of Detroit on July 22nd. Father Joe, thank you for being here, making the trip over to talk about something that I know is very near and dear to your heart.
I really thank you for the opportunity to come in and talk about it.
All right, it is Rising from the Ashes Revival at Huntington Place in downtown Detroit on July 22nd. What is this revival? Tell me about the day, about the origin, the reason for it.
Well, it really came out of a focus on prayer and reflecting on where the church was. And it felt to me that what we were doing was trying to manage decline. And the Lord's not really all that concerned with managing decline. The Lord's more concerned about growing. And so I started to pray about it and reflect on it, and I thought, this is what we probably need to do, is help people find their way back and with a sense of hope. And thinking about hope, I reflected on the life of Father Gabriel Richard, who was a priest here in the Archdiocese of Detroit before it was the Archdiocese, back in the 1700s, early 1800s. And he was an incredible human being. He started the University of Michigan. He worked on the road of Michigan Avenue all the way from Detroit to Chicago, served in the House of Representatives, started schools for boys, girls, and Native Americans when nobody was doing those kinds of things. And when the city of Detroit burned in 1805, he looked at the destruction that was in front of him, and instead of being filled with despair, he said, "We hope for better things. We will rise from the ashes." And that word hope, in Richard's understanding, reflects back all the way to St. Paul and what Paul talks about it, even in the Old Testament. And that word hope comes from a reliance on God, knowing that the Lord will always be provident to us in any situation that we're in. So trusting in God, we can move forward from the situation we're in now, whether personally, as a church, as a community, whatever the case may be, we can always move forward knowing that the Lord is by our side. And if we can do that, then we're filled with hope. So that's kind of where all that came from. And when the U.S. bishops did their Eucharistic Congress, it just confirmed it, and there's some other events that confirmed it. But then we knew we had to do this.
All right, so you're leading this effort. I'm sure you've got a great team that's working with you. There's support from the Archdiocese of Detroit as well. So July 22nd, downtown Detroit, Huntington Place. Tell me about the schedule. If I'm interested in attending, and we'll talk about that.
Sure.
What am I going to see? What am I going to hear? What am I going to experience during this event?
So there's really a couple of things that are happening on that day. In the morning and in the afternoon, there are a series of speakers. Jeff Cabins is speaking. Jeff was a Catholic, left the church, and then returned to the church. Bishop Flores, who was an auxiliary bishop here in Detroit for a while and is now the bishop of the Diocese of Brownsville, Texas, right on the border of Texas and Mexico. We also have Sister Mary Grace, who's a sister of life, who came to really a deeper understanding of her faith when she encountered World Youth Day in Australia, and she's from Australia originally. So we're very happy to have her as well. And then Father John Ricardo, who's a local priest, served in some parishes here in the diocese and is now working with an organization called Acts 29, which goes around helping parishes, dioceses, groups of priests to really grow in their faith. And then in the afternoon at 5 o'clock, the Archbishop will be coming, and we'll have a Eucharistic procession with the Blessed Sacrament along Jefferson and then up Woodward. the same route that many of the early missionaries took as they landed on the shores of the Detroit River when the faith first came to this area. And then in the evening, so for those people who can't make the first part of the day, they can come to the concert in the evening for free. And that features four great artists, Steve Agrizano, Sarah Hart, Sarah Kroger, and Matt Maher. And that kind of just wraps up the day. But there'll also be a display on the life of Solanus Casey. Mm-hmm. There'll be a display on the life of Father Gabriel Richard. And then we also have a ministry fair. And what we're excited about that is that most people, when they look at the church or they think about the church as a whole, they kind of look at it from what's happening or not happening at their parish. The ministry fair allows people to realize how the church is actually active in this part of Southeast Michigan in various ways, whether it be schools, hospitals, various charities, those kinds of things. And as well, what I think is kind of a wonderful part about it all is that when you purchase your ticket for the event for $50, which is really not very much, you pick which one of five charities you want that money to go to. Through the great generosity of many donors, we've been able to pay for the revival off of their donations so that the ticket money could all be donated either to the Capuchin Soup Kitchen, the Pope Francis Center, Catholic Charities of Southeast Michigan, Mary's Mantle, or Better Way Detroit.
All organizations that are helping people in our community.
Directly, yep.
Yeah. So you have a website that will make it easy for those who are interested to register. You have thousands already planning to attend on, you know, July 22nd.
Yes, and the website is risingrevival.org, and all the information is on there.
The list of speakers, the complete schedule, as well as other information.
Yes, all there.
Yeah. So the response to this point, for the work that's been done to prepare, are you excited about what you're seeing in terms of the response?
I am. I think there's a great collaboration. Because those of us who are putting on the revival, a small group of us, had to start our own 501c3 to do this. Mm-hmm. So the diocese has been very supportive. And then we've also been working in collaboration with the Chaldean diocese, with Bishop Calabat and his workers. And that's been a wonderful collaboration. So that's been very good as well. There's about 4,000 tickets already sold. So we're hoping for a great event that way. We don't know how many people will come to the concert because we're offering up to 5,000 free tickets for the concert. But we just really want it to be a great celebration of our faith and to revive people's hope in the midst of all that's going on.
Well, and there is a lot going on in our world, sadly, with, wars, Ukraine and Iran and the Middle East. There's a lot here that is heavy. And so to be able to lift spirits in a positive way through faith is critically important, isn't it?
I think so. And I think the reason that people lose hope is because they lose their vision of what the future could be. And they're focused so much on the moment. I think we have a lack of understanding of history, right? And so we think that what we're going through right now is the worst time in history. And it's not. There's been horrible times throughout the course of history. Yet the human spirit, based in faith predominantly, is extremely resilient. And from every situation in the past, people have risen up to create a better future, the future that we're established and living right now, right? This is the result of the hard work of so many others who have come before us. And yes, sometimes we mess it up, but the vision given to us in the Constitution, for example, the vision given to us in Scripture, helps us to understand where we can be and how good we can really be.
And faith is, it's one of those things that's kind of out there, right? I mean, you either have it or you don't, you believe or not. But what is your, as a parish priest, if someone comes to you feeling down and feeling hopeless, how do you attempt to, lift them up, if you will?
Without ever diminishing their own experience, we are a tradition of storytellers. And I think we've kind of lost that gift of being able to tell the story. But being able to share how God and how the human spirit has gone through crises in the past, they teach us something, right? We look at least in the Catholic Church especially, to the saints, right? These men and women who have lived great historic lives, yet were very common and ordinary people. And they're from every age, every profession, every situation of life. They don't all have easy lives, yet they were able to see and believe in the greater good. And so they designed their life and directed their lives in such a way to reflect that good. You know, whether it be somebody like Pier Giorgio Frassati, right? An Italian young man, not married, came from a family of non-believers, but he grew up wanting to know the Lord more and did it on his own. And he took the money that he had and would help the poor. The great story of when he died as a young man. He was very active, had lots of friends, very athletic. There's a great picture of him climbing a mountain somebody had taken of him, and on it he wrote, Verso l'alto, reach for the heights. And when he died, the streets were filled with the poor. And his parents looked at each other, and his father said to his mother, we didn't even know our own son, right? So there are those kinds of people throughout the history of the church. There are people like that through the history of the world who have lived incredible lives at the service of others. And the more we understand that our lives are about helping each other achieve the good, not just focused on ourselves, the stronger we become as a people.
Live a purposeful life and, yes, live for others.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
So we mentioned Father Joe Maglia, our guest today on the Dave Llewellyn podcast, parish priest at St. Kiernan in Shelby Township. You have served there since 2020, but how about your journey of faith, your life story, the calling as such, the decision for a religious life, a life in the priesthood?
So there was always a desire in my heart to be a priest. My parents never pushed me to go to church. My parents never said, you know, maybe you should be a priest. My dad's brother was a priest. I presently have five other cousins who are priests.
Wow.
It's kind of the family business, I guess, right? none of them ever said, you think you should be a priest? But there was a draw to that life and to what the priest did. And I had fortunately had good role models in priesthood, right, growing up. So when I decided that after high school I would enter religious life, so I was 17, graduated in June from Cabrini High School in Allen Park and went right into the seminary that August. And I was at Sacred Heart Seminary for 4 years. But after that many years of school, I thought, I need a break. So I took a year off, then went back to St. John's in Plymouth. And in that time, I thought, maybe I might rather be a monk and live my life in silence and those kinds of things. So I explored that for a while. I still dated and did some other things as well because I wanted to, you know, really know, test this vocation. But after 3 years, I was convinced that this is what the Lord was calling me to do. So then I was ordained in 1992. So I've been a priest for 34 years now. And I was assigned originally to St. Joe's in Lake Orion. And I was up there for 2 years. And I was also the chaplain, and I taught and coached at what was then Oakland Catholic, now Notre Dame Prep.
Right.
From there, I went to St. Michael's in Sterling Heights. I went to St. Martin's in Warren. And then I became the pastor out at St. Kenneth in Plymouth. And then the Archbishop took a chance and sent me back to my home parish. So I was at Cabrini for a little over 12 years, and then was sent to Richmond and Memphis, St. Augustine and Holy Family there, and now at St. Kieran.
Yeah. And you have a thriving parish, a parish that's growing, as I understand it.
That is correct, yeah. We're very fortunate. People work very hard. We try to do lots of things that engage people at various stages of their life, but also that will bring people in maybe who aren't even Catholic or aren't even Christian, but ways to help them to connect with the church and to see it more than just a place for Catholics to be, but for everyone to be. The community can be there. We hold community events. We've done and continue to do every year, like we do an Easter egg hunt that's open to the community. We've done bike blessings. We've done food truck rallies. We do cornhole tournaments, wow. Anything just to draw people together.
Yeah. And there is some response to that, not just here, but other dioceses I've read about that you know, youth participation is up. Young people are coming, maybe not in the numbers anyone might, you know, ultimately like to see, but young people are beginning to hear the call, if you will, and coming to the church.
Correct. Yeah, as long as the church is willing to respond to them, yeah. Right, and recognize them and not view them simply as the church of the future, we'll come back when you're married, right, kind of thing. We do a kickball league for free, co-ed kickball league. We have over 100 young people playing kickball on a Monday night, right? We had 35 young adults come into the faith last Easter. As long as we're willing to respond to them, they will come. They're looking for things. They're hungry. Mm. They want to know the Lord. They want to work through the issues of life. The church has something to offer them. They're recognizing that. And so as long as we recognize what they're asking for and we respond to it, they'll be there.
All right, so this work is all good and positive, but at the same time, you know, as we're looking for this revival and looking toward July 22nd, there is the current restructuring process that is underway for the Archdiocese of Detroit, and we've seen, you know, waves of church closings over the years. This is for a variety of factors, including, sadly, a shortage of priests and those coming into the vocation. So how do you kind of reconcile as a parish priest kind of this, you know, this twofold thing that's happening within the church?
See, I see them as being parallel lines.
Okay.
I don't see them being diametrically opposed. Because the revival and the restructuring are about helping the church to grow, right? And in its present structure, the church can't grow, right? We have way too many buildings. Some of the buildings are in the wrong communities now. Right. People have moved. And so how do we respond to where people are at? And, you know, as much as we want to be sentimental about things, businesses move, yeah. Right? Stores have closed and opened up in different ways. We can't expect the church to just simply, you know, that old motto or thought, you know, that came from Field of Dreams, that if you build it, they will come. No, they won't. We know that, right? So we have to respond. And the church, if we really look at what is written in the Acts of the apostles went to where people were. Mm. They didn't build structures and say, come to us. So we're being asked now to enter into that apostolic age, to be like that early church, and to say, okay, we built where you were, you're no longer where you were, you're at somewhere else, how do we respond to where you're at now? And the restructuring is allowing us to do that. At the same time, that restructuring is giving us an opportunity to renew, to revive our faith communities, to build them up, to strengthen them, to encourage people, to become more evangelistic. See, I see them really working in hand.
The shortage of priests, that is one of the factors involved in this restructuring, certainly. You have served, as you mentioned, 34 years now as a priest in the Archdiocese. There aren't enough, you know, young priests coming through. I mean, that's a crisis point, is it not?
I think it's a challenging point. I don't know if it's necessarily a crisis. When Detroit became a diocese, there were 11 priests in the whole place. And it didn't cover just Michigan. It covered Michigan, Minnesota. It went all the way out to the Dakotas, wow. Actually. Right? So we have to understand church in a different way, right? And what priests are being asked to do. The idea that every building might have a morning mass may not be the case anymore. And that priests might be at the office all the time may not be the reality anymore. There are things that lay people can do, especially in regards to administration of the church that the priest is doing now but doesn't really need to do.
Mm-hmm. Give me an example of that, because we had a conversation about that in terms of, you know, the sacramental rites that are so very important to the faith. But then also, then that includes weddings and funerals. And just give me an idea of, and our viewers and listeners, of what your week has been like in that regard.
So the funny thing is, my weekends aren't that bad. It's the weekdays that are hard, right? What happens Monday through Friday?
Yeah.
But one of the things that I've done, and I think it helps me out, is that baptisms are done at the Sunday liturgy, not on a separate date and time. That's one less event I have to deal with. And there's a rite for it to be done during Mass.
Right.
Even weddings don't have to be done at a separate date and time. They can be done at the Sunday liturgy or on the Saturday evening liturgy, which I think most couples would actually prefer, because if you could go to a 4 o'clock wedding and then go right to the reception rather than having this huge gap. I think we just need to approach things differently, right? The idea of having my own thing rather than understanding in the church's theology that all sacraments are supposed to be celebrated in the midst of the community and not at separate events. Does it create some shifting? Yes. When I was downriver, I did quinceañeras at the Sunday liturgies, Saturday night usually. And that worked out fine. And the people actually looked forward to it. And I think people will adjust to it as we've adjusted to other things. We didn't used to have Saturday evening masses at all prior to the reforms of the Second Vatican Council. Now people are upset because we don't have a Saturday mass, right? So we will adjust.
All right, let's come back to the event on July 22nd again, and the revival, tickets available. You mentioned the website. Let's mention that one more time.
RisingRevival.org.
Okay. And information is there. The ability to purchase tickets is there. You would encourage all of the faithful, certainly, to look at attending, to come together as the larger Detroit community?
Absolutely. And we actually have people who have registered who are coming from as far away as Arizona,
wow,
Florida, from the Toronto area. Windsor's not that far, so some right, people are coming from Windsor, Ohio. But we're just trying to draw people of faith together to celebrate what is good about our faith.
And the music being a part of that as well.
Absolutely, right? And again, it's trying to meet people where they're at. So where maybe some people aren't quite yet so sure about wanting to come back to the church or who these speakers are, they might recognize some of those names who are performing, especially Matt Maher.
Right.
And it's about drawing people closer together and renewing hope.
I hope there's a great response for
Thank you.
This. Appreciate certainly all of the work that you and your team have put into this, along with the support from the Archdiocese of Detroit. And I appreciate the opportunity to have you detail the event and what it can mean to the church and to our community. It should be a great event.
We're really hoping that it is for people. Again, it's really focused on renewal. Right, it's not about proselytizing. This is about just renewing people's faith in themselves, in the church, and in the community as a whole.
Father, thank you.
Thank you very much, Dave.
Father Joe Malia, my guest today on the Dave Llewellyn Podcast. Again, Rising from the Ashes Revival, July 22nd at Huntington Place in downtown Detroit. RisingRevival.org is where you can go for more information and to purchase tickets. And again, the proceeds from the ticket go to support those five charities in the Detroit area, Southeast Michigan as well. Until next time, thank you to Whitney and to our team here. And most of all, thanks to you for watching and listening. Until next time, stay safe, be kind.